Fala galera, sejam bem-vindos ao Segundo Podcast. Aqui é o Axel e no episódio de hoje, o episódio de hoje tá muito especial, né? Nós entrevistamos ninguém mais, ninguém menos que Dave Castro, o diretor de esporte da CrossFit. Graças à CrossFit Brasil, nós tivemos essa oportunidade. Eu e o Ricardinho fizemos algumas perguntas para ele sobre o novo formato da temporada de 2021. Falamos um pouquinho sobre os games do passado, como ele pensa na programação, em que ele se inspira. Particularmente, esse ponto foi o que mais me tocou. E também conversamos sobre o futuro do esporte, onde ele acha que o CrossFit pode chegar. Lembrando, esse episódio está em inglês, galera. Então, se você quiser assistir com legenda, tem lá no canal do YouTube da CrossFit Brasil. Sem mais delongas, bora pro episódio.
Fala, Brasil, eu tô aqui com o Dave Castro, Axel, e temos aqui também os convidados, o Sérgio Sanches, a Babi Azevedo e a Nath Graciano, que daqui a pouquinho vão aparecer para fazer umas perguntas. A gente vai tocar em inglês diretão com o Dave, depois a gente coloca legendas, beleza? Tamo junto. So, hi, Dave. First, thank you very, very much to spending this time with us here. I'm Ricardo, as you know, and it's very good to have you here. I'm here with Axel, and thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys and your community.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Axel. Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure. Just a little introduction. We talked already, so I hope that we made some good questions, a good script, and let's talk about some other things that you didn't talk about yet. So yeah. I think that's gonna be good.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Dave. Many people don't know here in Brazil that you had a. Right now you're only at the games part, but for a long time you've been the director of the training, co-director with Nicole Carroll. So just introduce yourself a little bit, talk to our people here, what's kind of your history with CrossFit and where you are right now.
Ricardo, nice shirt, by the way.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's true. I think a lot of people, not only in Brazil, but in the entire world, they only see me as like the games guy. But as you know, because you worked in training, the reality is, for the entire time that I worked for CrossFit, my biggest role and my most important role, I believe, was in the training department with Nicole Carroll. And so that's how I first got involved with CrossFit, was through the seminars and teaching at seminars and helping seminars, and then eventually organizing and scheduling and overseeing that program. And it wasn't until recently that I, with Eric and the new team, the new leadership, they kind of just wanted me to focus on the games and the sport. And then so Nicole has training. And so now I'm not as heavily involved in it as I used to be, but I still contribute and collaborate and discuss things with that team when there's opportunities.
Yes, and it's been awesome to be part of that team since 2013. I want to ask you if you remember the first level one in Brazil. Do you remember where it was?
No, I don't.
So remember. There was a first one in São Paulo back in 2009, I think, with Chuck Carso. But yeah. Then in 13, we had one at Punk in my gym. And I think you remember those because back in the days, they were like very, very crazy full, right?
Yeah, I mean, back then, there were like 50, 60 people selling out fast, purchasing the courses quickly. What was the first gym we used before yours?
So I think CrossFit Brazil in Joel with Friedman, I think.
Yeah.
It happened only once. I think 18 people, the dinosaurs from CrossFit in Brazil, did that course.
I met Joel in Vancouver. He used to train at CrossFit Vancouver with Craig Patterson. And I met him there before that.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. So Axel, do you want to get into the season questions?
Yeah, we can stay here all day. I can ask questions for Dave all day long from a lot of subjects, but let's focus a little bit on this season now, the recent changes. So Dave, recently you guys started publishing some videos at the CrossFit Games YouTube channel, explaining a little bit behind the curtain of the structure of the process of creation the season for the 2020 CrossFit Games. So when Annie asked you about why do you think it's important to pull the curtain back on this year's game season, one part of the answer was about showing the community that their opinion was relevant. There are any changes or things you've done this season that came from the community?
Yeah, I think a number of them, to include bringing the affiliate competition back. I think a lot of people really wanted to see the affiliates back in the process and included in the qualification structure. So that was a big one. And that one meant a lot to me too, because it was such a powerful thing for the local communities in any given area to have their athletes and their teams advance to the next stage. So I think that is a big piece. You know, a lot of people were saying they wanted regionals back, and we didn't necessarily bring regionals back. It's very similar in that it's kind of the same structure, but basically it's utilizing and leveraging, working with our semifinal partners. So we didn't make, or I should call the old name, the sanctional. So we didn't force them out and make them go away. We kind of brought them into the fold, and continuing to work with those who weren't chosen to be part of the game semifinals, the semifinals and the games out of season. Some of the other events we'll continue to work with and give them opportunities to partner with us on premier events in the community. So, and then the last chance qualifier, like, you know, so that's a big break from how we used to do things, but something that I felt like the athletes were saying, and kind of, we listened to them like, hey, you know, so basically in the old model, you had the open one shot to go and then the games. Well, now you have the open, the semifinals, and an additional chance. If you miss out on the, at the semifinals, you can go to the last chance qualifier and then qualify to the games. Yeah. So it's similar. And some people want to lean on that. It's identical, but it's not at all identical. It's actually very different. There's a lot of noticeable differences in it.
Yeah. Well, we have some questions about this regionals, sanctionals, semifinals system, but about the last chance qualifier particularly, I think that everybody that cheered around the regional season in the past is excited with this, because the regionals was always very disputed. And like the sixth and the seventh, we usually stayed like 2-3 points behind, maybe 5 points behind. So that's gonna bring a lot of excitement for the season, I think. I think it's gonna be great.
And this year, the online qualifier, the last chance qualifier is online. In future years, we definitely want the last chance qualifier to be an in-person event. And so those in-person events, you know, call it in 2022, those will be some of the most exciting events outside of the games, because it'll be some of the best athletes in the world coming there to try to qualify.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
That's awesome. Dave, in that same video that Axel talked about, you talk about the Open, and he asked you about the meaning of the Open, and you said about the bringing the community together. But we want to know for you, Dave Castro, what the Open means for you as maybe as an athlete.
Oh, as an athlete, it's an opportunity to test myself in CrossFit. I don't do local competitions. I don't do any CrossFit competitions. So for me, the Open is where I'm able to measure up in the community and see how fit I am or how unfit I am. So I always enjoy the Open and doing the Open. And there's been years where in the week of the Open, it was like the only workout I did. And I do it 2 or 3 times. And I love repeating. And I'm repeating to try to beat my score and do a little better. And I get really sucked into the competition of it. Like, I see scores from people who are, you know, I work with or my friends, and I really want to beat them, even if I don't have what it takes to beat them. But yeah, I'm super competitive with the Open, and I really enjoy it and what it brings out, because it is like, now we're getting tested, and now it's for real, and now there's like And with me, like, I feel like people are going to look at my numbers, and I put my numbers out there often. So, so I have to try to go, I have to That's do as, cool. As best as I can.
You bringing that up, I have to ask you about Josh Bridges' contest. Because I'm hearing about it just, I was watching Sevan's episode, and then, so what about it? It's something like that, just trying to
well, have fun with your friends. A few months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, I don't know exactly when it was, Josh texted me and he said he's getting into boxing and he's really having fun. And he said, we should spar one day. And I said, yeah, I'd love to spar you. Then like a couple months later, I don't know if it was who initiated, but one of us did a post and tagged the other person. And then like we kind of started going back and forth, doing some boxing stuff and tagging each other. And then it kind of started spiraling and people started assuming, oh, you guys are going to fight. When are you going to fight? And then like people involved and made offers to us to fight on like pay-per-view events and stuff. And if I were to fight him on a pay-per-view or a real fight, I would like have to train really hard and I'd go all in. And I just don't have the ability with my job to do that. So okay. I probably won't fight him on a live TV event, but I will definitely end up sparring with him. So sparring, awesome. Sparring yeah. That's not streamed to the world.
Okay, that's awesome. Thanks, sir. Thanks for that.
Coming back to the Open, do you have any particular goals this year?
For myself?
Yes, for yourself.
Just survive.
Someone told exactly that in my gym today. My first goal on the Open is to not die.
Yeah, just survive.
After the Open this year, we have the quarterfinals. It will be a new thing for the individuals and the teams. So can you give us a little bit of details about how it's going to work? It's going to be like the age group online qualifier.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the quarterfinals. So basically, now that the Open is 3 weeks, it made sense to have an additional step before sending athletes to the semifinals. Because if we just sent them right from the Open to the semifinals, it would it'd be a handful of workouts that qualify them right to a big stakes, to a big, you know, there's a lot on the line type of thing. So running online competition isn't as hard as running in-person competition. So we decided to add another online stage, the quarterfinals, where a huge group of athletes. So now it's not like 100 are advancing to this. It's a lot, it's 10%. And then they all get to compete against each other to go to the next stage. So at that number, it's the people who are really serious about it and really are passionate about competition. And a lot of them. And even if you're not super serious about it, but you're really good, because that's what the top 10% represents. Like there's going to be a lot of people in there who aren't full-time competitors, but who are really good CrossFitters and might want the opportunity to measure up against some of the really good people in more, I don't want to say more challenging tests, but in tests more appropriate to that level of athlete. So it's like, you know, when you program the Open, it's supposed to be inclusive and a wide variety of people can do it. This won't have that mindset when programming, meaning the Open, like they have to, everyone on this call should be able to do the Open workouts, but everyone on this call might necessarily not be able to do some of the quarterfinal workouts. And that's by design because it's a higher level of athlete. So, think more skill-based stuff, think more potentially heavier loads, etc. So yeah. I'm excited about the quarterfinals. It'll be, like you said, very similar to the age group online qualifier, multiple events in one time frame, you know, one weekend. The team aspect of it will be really cool because they are going to do theirs as teams. So they'll be, you know, the four people together and they'll have to do them that way.
About the teams, they need to prepare themselves to use things like warm or something like that?
Well, I would say no, because like expecting everybody to have a warm around the world wouldn't be too fair. So I'll I'll kill that one right now. We won't program any worm in the quarterfinals.
Awesome. In the quarterfinals.
That's cool. So semifinals right now. Semifinals, we also bring that up a little bit, the regionals, how it was like appreciated by the community. And now we have semifinals. And I want to ask you why. What makes you think about that decision of bringing the semifinals back or instating the semifinal instead of the regionals?
Well, the semifinals, so the regionals, the regions that we just created were really every year, every couple of years, we're having to redefine them and having to redraw them. And some people were upset by, you know, how many spots each place got or where the boundary was. So we decided to ditch that regional concept and go with this continental concept where basically established boundaries, using the borders of established boundaries. And so South America is a continent, obviously Asia, Africa, North America, et cetera. And so in building our sport off of those models. Now, the borders and some sort of region or continent is important for us to capture because it gives people national pride or nationalistic pride in their area. It gives them something like to compete against like people and to compete against their cohort and to send the best in the world from their group. And, you know, to compare it to the Olympics is based off a country. And so there's a lot of pride in the countries that are represented at the Olympics. Well, with this model, we'll be getting, when you go to your event, your semifinal in Brazil, there is going to be all South Americans there competing. And so that is something to rally behind. If you guys had South Americans there competing and Patrick Vellner, like that's cool because Patrick Vellner will bring more audience in theory, or Patrick Vellner is a star. But, you know, if Patrick Vellner then wins and goes to the games, well, all the pride, the area pride is kind of lost. So that's why it's really important that you guys also and these other areas in the world get to compete against yourself, compete against your areas, and send people from your community to the next level. And that's part of the reason. That's the major style of format. And especially when it comes to the teams. So that way there'll be team representation from these given areas.
That's very, very cool.
Still about the semifinals, Dave. I read your book and I follow you in the social media since 2014. You had a crazy schedule from ever since I follow you. You had a crazy schedule during the season. Open announcements, regionals, you are all over the world. But you were calling all the shots. You had everything under your control. In sanctionals, you didn't have under your control. Now at the semifinals, you also don't have it under totally your direct control. How do you deal with that?
Oh, that's fine. It's totally cool. Basically, we're giving them the freedom. So to go to your point, in regionals, we programmed it all. I programmed it specifically. And then the event organizers worked for us. And it was, you know, you say me, but it was a team of us. It wasn't just me, but it's our team. And then, so those events were all identical in terms of how they're run and the product that we put out. And there were some very positive things from that. I really like seeing the same workouts every weekend and seeing if people would improve on them. That's not going to happen now. Going forward, these events will be very different by event, and their programming will be their own programming. On that note, we'll give them some guidelines and some structure and some recommendations, and we'll sign off on the programming, but it's not going to be the same program workouts for all the semifinals. So, and that's okay. And I think that's actually, and you're right. And I won't be running the event, or I won't have oversight. I won't have programmed the event, but I'm totally comfortable with that and okay with that. I probably also won't be on the same schedule that I used to be on for regionals and open. And this year, we're going to announce very shortly, but we're doing all the open announcements in California out of our Scotts Valley office. So we are going to do announcements, but we are not going to travel them just because right now is not the best time in the world to travel. So we'll have them there. And then once the semifinals come around, I personally haven't decided what my travel for them will be, because we actually don't even know, you know, which ones will be able to happen and which won't. So still a lot to be determined on all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Thanks.
Yep.
So what are your expectations about the South America semifinal?
Man, I mean, you guys are going to do what you do, and you guys are going to bring a massive amount of community and passion and enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And your crowd is going to be amped up. Your athletes are going to be amped up. The energy, you guys take to another level. When I went to the open announcement there, that was one of the biggest, rowdiest open announcements I've ever done. When I went to regionals there, like, the energy you guys travel with and the passion that you carry is just, it exudes from every area of the event. So you guys will bring it, and I'm excited. In terms of the actual athletes, I mean, you guys are producing some great athletes, that whole region, you guys in particular, and South America in general. So I think people who you send will not be, they are going to be legit contenders, and they're going to be legit athletes, because at this point in the game, your best are getting to the point they need to be at to contend with our, with the rest of the world's best.
Yeah. Now we're talking about a little games history. So in 2016, you've said that the muscle up biathlon was inspired in an event of the Olympics, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The speed ladder was inspired in an event of the Formula One, or in the Formula One, correct?
Not the speed ladder, but the sprint sled.
The sprint sled. Okay. So, there are any other events that was inspired in another sports?
Some of the events have been inspired by books I've read and other random things. Let me, in terms of sport, yeah, I guess the Camp Pendleton, we had we did a triathlon, but it wasn't really a traditional triathlon. We did, how did we layer it? Or was it the same? So we did swim, bike, run. So yeah, it was a triathlon is, it's swim, bike, run.
Team
so
bike
we,
run, yeah.
We had that format. So there we did a triathlon once at the games. That was really a really long triathlon. The run was a really long run. And for at the time, it was the longest event we've done in the games. In terms of other sports, I can't think of any right off the top, but I'd have to, if I look at, you know, it's funny because when we talk about the programming, like some people remember all the programming for every year and what exactly was done. I can't even think about all the events we did last year, much less 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. So I often have to look at the programming and like take it in. And then once I see it, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I remember where that one came from or why we did that. But I get inspiration from a lot of different places. On the sprint sled event, I actually told Bill to try to make from Rogue, try to make something sleek like a Formula One car and fast. And that was the thing that you ended up seeing them push.
You got
there is one. There. Oh, sorry.
You,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Just a second. You got me intrigued in there when you said that some events were inspired in books. Can you give us an example?
Aeneas was a workout that from Greek mythology, there's a character from the Battle of Troy where he carried his father out on his back and after the Battle of Troy went down. And so that worked out Aeneas at the games, it ended with carrying the yoke. Yeah, and that was inspired by the father being carried on his back from Greek mythology. And so that was the inspiration there.
Pretty cool.
I think I bet this event you will remember, and we would like to know a little bit more about the thought process behind, and if there is something that we can see again. It's the chaos event at the games. Did you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one. I mean, I remember them all, especially when you point me in a certain direction. So that was like years in the making. Like I really thought about that And it was a concept, not the actual event, but the concept was something I'd wanted to do for a very long time. And the reason was the thought process behind it was all the other events we do, it doesn't matter. Most athletes are like strategizing and coming up with a plan and thinking about where they're going to push and where they're going to back off, except for some really short events we do. Really, some really short events, you just have to go all out. And even then, there is strategy on short events. But I was thinking, how can we do something where you're kind of forcing everybody to go and not have a plan or strategy? And it was via something like chaos. So the only way it could happen was if we had every single athlete at the same time, and basically they didn't know what they had to do until they finished what they just did. And I was actually really happy with how that one came out and really proud of it. Will we do it again? I'm not sure. I like it, but it was good then. And I think it played out well. I don't know if we'll ever do it again, but it was something that's, we'll probably do it again. We'll do it again.
Thank you. So we were talking about the games. Matt Fraser just retired, so we can't go away without talking about it. You kind of predicted it. When you said that you didn't think that he was going to win the game, the 2020 games, and when you went to Talk Elite Fitness podcast, Tommy asked you if you still thought that way, was thinking that way after the results of the first phase of the games online first phase, and you said, I think I'm quoting, but I'm not pretty sure. So it's inevitable. It's that time. That time never loses.
Father Time never loses. And the thing is, what he's doing and performing at that level is, and I mean, he's basically saying this too, is so fucking hard. It doesn't continue on forever. And that was kind of my point. Like, yeah, this is great. I'm excited, but this isn't, he's not going to win 10 in a row. He's not going to win 8 in a row. He's not going to win 7 in a row. And so at this rate, because he retired, he's not going to win 6 in a row. And that was my point. This is really hard. It's not sustainable to perform at that level on like mentally and physically year after year. And what he did accomplish was amazing, of course. And it's sad to see him go, but it totally makes sense. And Rich Froning went through the same thing too. He decided to leave at a point, and he basically still trained the same amount he used to, but not with the pressure that he put on himself and the stress of like, and the way he had to train to compete as an individual. Now he has fun with it, training for a team where he didn't in the past. So it's just part of the cycle. And like people ask, is this going to affect the sport, or how do I see it? Am I upset? No, it's fine. It's great. And actually it'll be better for the men's side of the field for next year, because there's a bigger storyline now. Yeah. Instead of Matt's dominance, it's going to be who's going to take his place.
So who do you think will fight for the first place?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't pay attention to the sport like that or play the sport like that. Like I'm never really, especially in the, like right around games time, people always ask me like, oh, who do you think's going to win? Or what are the top? People ask, who do you think's going to win? In the past few years, it's easy to say, oh, Tia or Matt, obviously. And then when people ask me, who are the top three? I don't know. Like, I don't follow it that closely. Let me rephrase that. I do, of course, follow it, but I don't engage in it in that way. I'm not trying to pick podium picks or like who's going to win. And I think that's also one of my strengths in the position, is that I do disconnect from essentially being a fan of it and kind of more just like the owner of the test. And I mean, I could like, I don't know who's going to win on the men's side, and I could honestly care less, but I know they will be the fittest man alive for that given year, because I'll have done my job in programming an appropriate test.
Yeah. Awesome.
Dave, what about the off season? What can you tell us? Can you tell us a little bit more about the off season? There is this this question here about the invitation, if this is something that we would bring it back.
I love the Invitational. I don't know if we're going to bring it back this year. The offseason is going to be an offseason that has multiple other events that are in collaboration with CrossFit. Meaning, so like some of the semifinal events in Brazil, the event that we don't choose to partner with for semifinals, well, guess what? Or I'll say South America, not Brazil. The event we don't partner with, they can be an event for us in the off season. And it could even be something like the South American Championships or the Brazilian Championships, CrossFit Brazilian Championships or South American CrossFit Championship. We're also looking at, there's a few other concepts for events for the big athletes that we might do, premier events, and then a lot of other events for just the average CrossFitter. But I think when we had sanctionals for the previous 2 year, there was no off season. It was just a full year of qualifying, and now we have the games and then the off season. And in the off season, there'll be multiple other events to engage in. Undefined at this point, ideas, concepts, but undefined because of everything that's going on.
Sure.
Yeah. The last couple years, the growth of the sport was kind of pulled back. Now we have a focus on developing it. That being said, where do you think you can get? You said something like, I'm in this for the long haul in the Talk Elite Fitness podcast too.
So what's the question?
Where do you think the sport can get?
I mean, I think this sport is going to continue to grow, and it's going to continue to, the sport will grow, and the growth of the sport will cause the community to grow, and the growth of the community will change people's lives and have a healthier community on the micro level and support everyone globally. So I'm really excited because I see that as our sport doesn't grow independent of the community, and the community doesn't grow and our sport not grow. So they both have to happen, and both of those happening are such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing because you guys all know, you want your family members, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, you want everybody in your life to be doing CrossFit because it'll change their lives. And that's not necessarily competing in it, but just doing it. And the more people that do it, eventually the more people that compete in it. So us growing the sport coincides with growth, us growing the community. And to me, that's exciting and significant.
Cool.
What is the most remarkable fitness achievement that you have seen in this last couple of years? We have seen, like you already mentioned, the mile plus back squat, and then you added the 50 pull-ups. There is anything more?
So that's significant. I think I think at Atlanta, and like the level that those guys, the speed at which they did at Atlanta, and Matt not even trying and still winning that workout was really impressive, because the volume there is like, not often do I say this of a CrossFit workout, but that CrossFit workout took the volume to another level that we typically don't go to, especially not in a normal box. So when you look at the volume of specifically chest to bar pull-ups. And that to me was very impressive. And then even the event won at the CrossFit Games this year, because it was a repeat, a really heavy scaled up repeat of an old games work, the first games workout. And basically, I think Matt had the same time or something very similar. That was cool too. These days though, like there is so much going on in the strength world and the CrossFit world and the fitness world, like things are constantly being elevated and raised and lifted more and faster times. Like it's hard to keep up with it all. And it's hard to be, impressed, because everything's changing on like, if someone does this and then the next moment someone else is doing this, and it just keeps escalating. And especially with social media, how fast everything travels. So I'm not surprised anymore at anything that I see. Like it's all possible. And our sport and our community, I believe, has laid a foundation to really break so many barriers in terms of athletic potential. So that's cool. My answer.
Dave, I'm almost wrapping up now. I know that Ricardinho wants to ask you something, especially after the answer that you give Nachi. So do it.
So first, I want to say that one of my best memories in it was your closing at the summit last couple of years now in 2019. And you give a very good message for us there that all, every moment in life is a chance for us to learn. And we have to take that process, apply in our lives, and then give it back, grow from it, and then give it back. And it was really, really cool. And I want to ask you, what's maybe your biggest lesson? This question came from the community, and I like this. What was one of the good lessons from me? But I want to ask you, what's the biggest lesson CrossFit gives you, or for your life gave you?
Humility, being humble, and understanding, you know, that there's so many people and individuals who this touches and affects, and understanding like your place in it all. And I think a lot of people sometimes can allow, especially in the case of myself, you know, I've been thrust into this role of in the community kind of celebrity, and understanding like it's not that big of a deal, like not letting it go to my head, not being bigger than who I am, just honest and being humble with myself and humble with the community. I think that for me is some of the biggest lessons I've learned. Like I don't need to be, and I am this way to a fault, I don't need to be someone else. I'm me, then you know what, people like it or they don't like it, take it or leave it, but I don't want to make a fake me to have more people like me. And so understanding who I am, being humble in it, and listening and learning from all the people that do contribute significantly to this community. There are some amazing people in the community, and there's amazing things to learn from them all.
That's awesome. Thanks.
So I have two questions to close this interview, Dave.
Okay.
The first one, the question that won't go away. The open announcements are back, but will you be announcing them?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay, fair. Can we expect to have another one in Brazil anytime soon?
Well, not this year.
Yeah. Not this year, but 2022 or 2023.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, look, if Brazil wants more events and Brazil wants more, we got to see more engagement. And like so much of how we build the season, and I'm not saying you guys haven't had more engagement. My point being is like, when we look at the numbers and we look at the places where we decide to go to, or we look at the places that get new events, it's like, okay, well, which area is really rallying behind CrossFit? Where is there a lot of growth? Where is there a lot of open participation? Where are they engaging back with us at a high level? And so, I mean, like, yeah, and next year when we make those calls, look, this region had a 20% growth in the open. They're really excited about it. Maybe we'll go there. So come rally behind the open and show support, and rally behind your local communities, and rally behind your gyms, which you guys, of course, I know will. And that will all contribute to us engaging more in terms of events like that and so forth.
Yeah, we are working on it. Thank you, Dave, so much. It's really, really nice to be able to ask you these questions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Dave.